There's a special eloquence that comes from Pastor Daniel when he reads. It may be the British accent, I'm not sure, but thank you, Pastor Daniel, for reading for us on this Christmas evening. In the first chapter of Matthew, we see a lot of political intrigue. It starts innocently enough with the appearance of wise men, also called magi, who had come from the east, presumably from Persia, who remembered the Jewish captives and the God that they revered. These wise men had noticed a star, which they referred to as his star, and when it arose. So they went to Jerusalem, the city of David, to inquire where the Christ was born. When King Herod heard of their inquiry, he was troubled. And so he assembled all the religious leaders together and asked them for the information that was being asked of him. The religious leaders pointed to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which Matthew records, saying, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Under false pretenses, Herod encouraged the Magi to go in search of the newborn king, and when they found him, they were to come back and report to him that he might go and worship the prophesied king. I'm sure that you've all heard this old adage, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. This most certainly could be attributed to King Herod. He was a ruthless tyrant. He would do anything, literally anything, to keep his power to rule. And he proves this when he discovered that the Magi had gone home without reporting back to him. Amazingly, even though the birth of Christ was inspired by the Word of God, Herod, without any hesitancy for what he was about to do, works a plan to sabotage the prophetic Word of God. It wouldn't work. When the Holy Family heard that Herod was seeking to kill their child, they headed for Egypt. Now, in many Bibles, you'll see a heading under this section that says, "The Flight to Egypt." I can assure you that they weren't concerned about having their flight canceled due to extreme weather like many Americans today. The flight was to escape a tyrant who was hell-bent on destroying anyone who threatened his power to rule, even the child of prophecy. Later in life, Jesus would say to another ruler clinging cautiously to power, "My kingdom is not of this world." While Herod and Pilate and many others down through the ages saw Jesus as a threat to their little fiefdoms, the Christ had come to rule his world not with the power of threat or violence, but by the gentle persuasion and actions of love, mercy, and grace. Isn't it interesting that their reign of power would come to an end, while Jesus' reign of power, or I should say reign of love, abides with us forever? Listen to Micah again. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Since the time of King David, rulers in Israel were referred to as shepherds. They were to be unlike the rulers of this world. But that hope was quickly shattered by kings who were more interested in power than in serving their people. Israel longed for a day when God would come down and rule his people with justice and righteousness. And when you hear Psalm 23 being read, you should hear the word king for shepherd in that first verse. The Lord is my king, I shall not want. And what follows in that psalm is a description of the type of shepherd king that God is to his people. My king makes me lie down in green pastures. My king leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. My king leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, my king, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You, my king, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, my King, forever. You know, no worldly king ever ruled like Jesus, our true shepherd king. And the Gospels are so full of stories. If you've been here throughout the year, you realize that every Gospel lesson is, at least in the beginning of the year, is another story of Jesus showing compassion and meeting the needs of those he encountered on his journey. The chief need being forgiveness. And that forgiveness resulted in merciful and grace-filled governing, healing, feeding, protecting, restoring, and leading in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And along with all that he gives, the promise of gathering his people and taking them to dwell with him in mansions of glory forever. You know, the political intrigues will continue until the second coming of Christ. But let us find joy, even now, that Christ, our King Shepherd, is born. With his birth, the rule of God entered our time and our space. Jesus is King. So with the birth of our King and the establishment of his kingdom, let us join our voices with the loud voices in heaven who at the sound of the seventh trumpet in Revelation chapter 11 declared, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen.